Hey, it's Fleet, Vaughn and Megan. Thanks.
Insert name here.
For downloading the podcast brought to you by MyRepublic.
Brought to you by MyRepublic, but what if I downloaded this using another provider?
Well, don't worry. They won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits?
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
The podcast.
And Nana Megan today is getting her operation, getting her screws out. After a hip operation.
Yeah, so she's got to go check out a couple of rest times. So she's taking the day. She's taking the day off.
So in her seat today, producer Caitlin has been elevated.
Good morning.
Elevated to Megan's hot seat.
Does that mean I need to sit a little bit higher? No, Megan sits quite low, doesn't she?
Elevated to announcer level. Oh, I don't want to say today. We're better than you guys, but we're better than you guys.
Okay.
That's the pecking order.
Now, today, also, while you will be on the show filling in for Megan, Caitlin, you're still doing your producer role. Very versatile. You've organised some All Blacks today ahead of the test, which is, by the way, is one all. The Lions, All Blacks. So it's the deciding test this weekend.
Yeah. It's in Auckland, isn't it? Mount Eden?
Yeah. Mount Eden Remand Prison. Yep. I'm going to let them play on the exercise.
Eden Park. Yard.
Oh, Eden Park.
Yeah. You're right, though. It should be called Mount Eden Park. I agree with you on that.
I only organise, the hottest All Blacks to come in, obviously. So TJ Perenara and Adi Savia.
Oh.
After 8 o'clock, guys. Get excited. Okay.
Right.
You've organised two All Blacks, very much your type.
Oh, not your type.
No. I'm just saying you've organised. I can tell. If you hadn't told me you'd organised that, I would have been able to guess who organised it.
Right.
I'll have two hot brown ones, thanks. Oh, we could send you in a lock. No.
A what? A lock.
A lock. One of the front lines.
Oh, yeah. Nah.
Okay, at least pretend that you know,
line
sync. Oh, God. Okay.
FEM.
All right, you lot. Listen up. It's story time.
Three headlines for three interesting, unusual news stories. Vaughn and Caitlin today will have to decide. Will you let Caitlin weigh in on this decision, Vaughn?
Yeah.
Or you'll just take it?
I'll give her a majority vote.
Okay.
So if she wants something that I don't, she can overrule me. It's the sort of guy I am.
Okay, right. Headline one today, man recreates Grand Theft Auto for real. Headline two, man's freezer makes him thousands. And headline three, worst place for a toilet stop.
Oh, the toilet stop could be, I was just going to say on the side of the road, like that. Where was it? The Freedom Campus in Dunedin?
The poo in the industrial area. Ongoing problems with Freedom Campus.
What
was number two?
Man's freezer makes him thousands.
Yeah, that piqued my interests because I too have a freezer and I want to know if I'm a man that can make thousands off my freezer.
And I don't really like the Grand Theft Auto one because I don't know what that is.
It's a video game.
I've never played it. Yeah, I know, but I've never played it.
Oh, it's
sounds a bit
very laddie. Violent.
Okay, number two.
Number two, please.
We go to Sun City Center, which I believe is in Florida. Because this is our story on the TampaBay.com website.
Classic Florida.
So a story brought to you by Florida. You can probably tell where this is going somewhat. And authorities, the U.S. Attorney's Office has sent out a news release. This actually happened some time ago, but I believe it's just been resolved now. So in 2002, Margaret Dunn passed away at her home.
No, Margaret.
In Florida.
And 2001.
In 2002, sorry.
2002, so 15 years ago.
Yeah. Her husband, Alan, at the time, decided that he would put her in a freezer and continue to claim her social security benefits.
Oh, like pension.
Yes. So, you'd get your weekly payout from the government.
Yeah. So, far as they know, she's still alive.
Yes.
Because there's been no death certificate, there's been no funeral.
Yeah, and I don't think you have to check in if you're old, do you, to get your pension? They just assume you're still alive.
Oh, yeah, not parole, mate. It's not wins. It's don't have to go down and say, I am looking for work. You're just old. Nothing's going to change there.
So that was in 2002 she died. In 2010, Alan passed away. So 8 years of collecting Margaret's checks.
Yeah.
And then I'm guessing the story, the details are a little bit light at this stage, but I'm guessing...
Because that was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
When he died.
I'm guessing at that stage, that's when someone found Margaret in the freezer.
Right.
Yeah. And they were like, we've been paying Margaret all this money. Yeah. Where's the money? So it turns out now that the heirs of the estate...
The heirs of the estate.
The heirs. The heirs.
Not the heirs.
The heirs.
The
heirs.
Silent H.
The silent H. And it doesn't say if they're their sons or it just says the heirs.
Okay.
To the estate. They're
just children.
They've been asked to pay back the money and sell the condo. So they've had to forfeit the condo and sell and
that's
pay back all the money.
That's pretty rough. That,
I know. Oh,
Angus had just found mum in the freezer.
With freezer burns too, because everybody knows you're only supposed to store a Margaret in a freezer for 12 months. Tops.
Well, yeah, because chicken drumsticks are 8. Are they 9 months or 8 months?
6 months?
Yeah.
They start to get a bit of freezer burn. Your red mates are your longer stores, but Margaret's no longer than 12 months in a freezer, so she would have had freezer burn.
If you don't tighten up the bag of, like, beans, they go a bit icy, don't they?
And when you do your freezer clean out, you'll find bits of Margaret scattered all over the bottom if you don't do a bag up properly.
Oh, no. What if there's a power cut and Margaret starts defrosting?
Oh.
That's grim, isn't
it? That's yuck.
Well, it's like ice cream. You'll always know. Because Margaret will have the crystals, but on the top.
And all the goody-goody gumdrops will sink to the bottom.
Yeah. That's how you know. FEM. I've got a little story to get you a little bit upset now. Try your
best, but you don't. It's been a while since we've had a Vaughn Smith sad story to make you cry.
It is. It has been a little while.
I'm a little bit worried Megan's not here because normally it's Caitlin and Megan that cry.
Right.
Well, you might cry today, Fletch.
Oh, didn't you say it was about animals? It's animal related, but it's dogs, not cats.
Yes, it's... Oh, right, okay.
I do love
a dog. No, it'll take a lot to make me cry, Caitlin.
This story comes out... it was posted on the Connor and Millie's Dog Rescue Commander. That's a Facebook page. They are in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Where a lot of... I didn't know this, but in Las Vegas, a lot of animals just get abandoned. When people just leave Vegas... Maybe they got a bad debt.
Given up the dream.
Or they just, and they just abandon them. They just literally leave the apartment and leave the animal in it. And it's not found for quite a while. So they've got quite a problem.
You shouldn't be allowed pets if you're going to do that.
Oh, but people don't think, do they, Caitlin?
No, they don't.
It's like at Christmas.
No, that's why you have parents. And, like, I got a cat. And now it's with mum and dad.
That's why you've got...
Oh, so you are one of these people.
Yeah, but I had parents to give it to, you know?
Right.
So they got a dog called Chewy. Yep. And Chewy's like a little... Chihuahua-y. It doesn't look full Chihuahua because I got no. You know, I've got no time for a Chihuahua. It's kind of a little
really
bit
cute.
It's like a little bit
white.
Cute, though.
That's so cute.
That's one of the most adorable photos of a dog.
It looks like
I've ever
seen. A Chihuahua crossed with like a cool dog. Some kind of nice, cool, like husky almost. Really nice.
Like maybe you could talk a little Pomeranian in there or something.
Yeah. Really cute.
It is. It is a cute little mix. And it's not a... It's a puppy, but it's not like a little tiny. It's not like a brand new puppy.
Right.
Chewy was found in an airport bathroom. And this is the story. Chewy was found with a note that said, "Hi, I'm Chewy. My owner was in an abusive relationship and could not afford me to get on the... couldn't afford to get me on the flight with her when she had to get out of here. She didn't want to leave me with all of her heart, but she has no other option. Her ex-boyfriend kicked me when they were fighting and I've got a bump on my head as a result and I think I probably need to see a vet. I was loved so much. Please love and take care of me. XOXOXOXO from Chewy." So this gets to the Connie and Miller Facebook page and of course they're like, well, this is a hell of a story. This is somebody who wanted to take their dog with them, was in an abusive relationship, had to get out, got to the airport and found out that there was an additional charge to take a dog on a flight. And because it's not a, what do they call those dogs?
Service dogs.
A service dog, it was just a pet. So there was an additional charge to take Chewy on the plane. And she couldn't afford it. And she just needed to get out for her own safety. So I had to leave Chewy behind.
So little Chewy's just in the bathroom by himself, shaking.
I assume he's shaking because he's got Chihuahua in him. They're always,
they're always shaking.
They always get a little bit of
Aw, that's really sad.
Here's a video of Chewy. Is that playing with Chewy?
Oh, he is so tiny. Oh, and she loved him so much.
She did. Because while this has got their Facebook page thousands of new likes and they've been interviewed on different news sources throughout America.
Yeah.
And the resounding sort of thing is they don't want to put him up for adoption. They want to find the original owner
so that they can get the dog.
Because they've now been given enough money from people to reunite the dog with the owner. So they want the owner to come forward because, no, like, you know, obviously a horrendous situation where someone just has to drop everything due to an abusive relationship. And they're saying, this abusive relationship's cost you enough. It shouldn't have to cost you your lovely little dog.
Aww.
So they're looking to reunite Chewy with the owner, which they don't have the name of because the note didn't say.
Right, okay.
So they're looking to, if...
So there could be, like, next week, there could be a great little follow-up to the story. We could have a
follow-up and the happy ending, because generally it's the sad stories with the happy endings that really get you.
Mm.
But at the moment, we're all just thinking, what can we do?
Chewy.
I know, cute little Chewy.
Didn't make Caitlin cry, though, did it? Oh, nearly.
Glazy.
Into Narnia, did that get you misty?
No, not today, I'm afraid.
Because she usually turns up at 7 o'clock in the morning. She had to be here at 5:45 this morning, so she's just like, "Screw you guys." No,
I'm actually asleep right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So that just happened for the last 5 minutes.
My brain's not even working.
I guess.
Today's top six is the top six other things to combat violence late night at McDonald's. Now, this is a problem. Napier McDonald's is facing.
Right.
They're saying that it gets to a certain hour of the night and civility goes out the window.
Well, that's why a lot of fast food places do the drive-through windows only, even if you have to walk up to them. So you're not making a mess inside.
And they can just shut that window.
Yeah.
I've always wondered, the glass on a drive-through window,
it'd be
double glazed at least, eh?
Yeah.
It'd be thick. It'd need to be.
Yeah.
I just think if you're running a drive-through of any of the fast food brands, got a good thick glass. Mm.
So what are they doing to combat it?
Well, apparently it's worked overseas, playing classical music over the speakers during the late hours.
Ooh, okay.
It happened in Glasgow in Scotland.
Yeah.
They did the classic music trick and it worked a little bit. And then Stockport in England tried it 2 years ago when violence was going through the roof, and it dropped the violence late night. So I don't know if it's because people don't like classic music. It might put you a bit of a down buzz at the end of the night. So you're kind of like, let's not hang around
down.
Here. Let's eat on the way. And then, of course, you've dispersed. So
yeah,
the violence doesn't happen. But the top six other things to combat violence late night at McDonald's. Number six, when it starts getting out of hand, somebody squirts the offenders down with the barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
A, it's going to stay in your clothes.
Yeah.
Sticky. You're covered in barbecue sauce now.
No Uber or taxi is going to take you home like that.
No.
You have to walk home, have a good hard think about your choices.
And of course, there's a sign saying the minute you get out of control, you're going to be sprayed with barbecue sauce. So it's warned you as well.
Yep.
Number five on the list, take it to the ball pit. Charge an entry fee and start late night Macca Fight Clubs.
Right.
McFight Club. There's a name for it perfectly, but it's got to stay within the ball pits.
Right.
Hard to fight when you're having that much fun.
Yep.
Number four on the list, Grimace on security. He's friendly looking, but also looks like he could hold his own when shit goes down.
Oh, sit on you too.
Well, exactly. He's wider at the body. He's pear-shaped.
Yeah.
He's got a low center of gravity. It'd be hard to get him down.
He'd hold you till police came, that's for sure.
Yeah. I reckon Grimace would be the toughest on the McDonald's crew.
Yeah, easily.
Birdie, probably she could hold her own. The Hamburglar, I think it's all talk from the Hamburglar. Number three on the list is if you're good at McDonald's between certain hours, you get a free soft serve on exit.
Ooh,
basically
nice.
What your parents bribed you with when you were a kid, because that stuff still works when you're an adult.
Yeah.
Behave yourself at this, Mac, because you get a soft serve on the way out.
That's a good wee hook.
Yeah, don't. You're out of here, buddy. And I tell you what, no soft serve for you, you scallywag. Number two on the list, when stuff starts going down, you push the panic button behind the counter, and the music that comes on isn't classical music. It's the McDonald's Road Safety song from the 90s.
Make it click.
Kids, you must remember every time you're in the car, and it makes no difference if you're going near or far, if you're in the front seat or if you're in the back. Click goes your seatbelt before you hit the track. Click goes your seatbelt. Click, click, click. See, it's hard to get violent.
Because
you want to sing along. Make it click.
Oh, God.
And the number one way to stop violence late night at McDonald's is when there's a situation, again, the panic button comes into play, you hit it and it rains nuggies.
Yes!
It's a nuggie scramble.
Diffuse any situation.
Yeah, right. I'm going to kill you. What'd you say to my brother? I called him a bleep, 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 Nuggies start falling around. It's like, I love you, brother. I love you. I love Nuggies. That's today's top six. FEM. Nigella Lawson is in the news. She has upset many a Cabanara fan.
Huge.
What's she doing?
Well, oh, because she does all kinds. I always think she just does chocolates sweets. And lollies.
No. You're thinking of Mary Cherry. What's her name? That old, you ever see that old love? She's always on at the doctor's waiting room.
No.
She's this old British lady and she always makes a great scone. She was on the Great British Bake Off.
She does a brilliant that one.
Oh, yeah, Mary.
She's lovely.
Oh, she's an absolute saint. When we lose her, we're going to lose an absolute scone magnate.
Right, okay.
But she's made a cabanara.
Nigella has.
Yeah, Nigella's okay. Made a cabanara. Not Mary. Mary, stick to the scones and okay. The slices. She's made a cabanara, and apparently, I didn't know, people very passionate about cabanara. Very passionate about it. It's a creamy yeah. Cabanara.
And you can have bacon in it and mushrooms. That's
and
how
chicken?
Yep.
No, is it just bacon and mushrooms?
Yes, you could. No, it's not a creamy one because she put cream in it.
Right.
No cream in a cabanara. Apparently eggs. She put wine and cream together in the cabanara. Well, people are wild. Twitter's absolutely. Look, Nigella, it's cabanara. You're taking too many liberties with this. You'll be making fish and chips out of ham and Nutella next.
So wait, I don't, what is meant to go in? You've confused me. What's meant to go in a cabanara? What's not? She's put something that shouldn't go in.
You call yourself a chef. This is outrageous. It's not authentic at all. Wine and cream? Really? We'll teach you what real cabanara is.
Wouldn't wine and cream curdle?
Yeah, and she put nutmeg and Parmesan cheese in there. And they're like, no,
sounds delicious.
You're supposed to put butter in it.
It's butter. It's
and yolk, eggs.
Butter and egg yolk. I was supposed to go into a cabanara, not cream, right. And not wine. So she's changed it up, and they're like, "This isn't even a cabanara. You can't call this a cabanara."
See, I don't know because all I ever do is buy those like little packets from the supermarket, and you just add
hot water and
microwave them,
and a big spoon of butter and stir it on a pot.
I don't know what goes in them.
I'm not a huge pasta fan, so I don't go crazy about pasta.
So what? She's offended like a big Italian community.
She's offended.
Oh God!
This was my mum made a fish pie. Mm. It wasn't. A pie, it didn't have a crust on it.
Yeah.
But she'd always load it up with macaroni elbows and.
In a fish pie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And peas were the controversial ingredient in Christine's fish pie. And I just grew up with this fish pie, so that I thought that's always what fish pie was like.
Yeah.
But then a friend came around and they were like, why is your mum put peas in fish pie? Really scared to mention it. And apparently the peas were the controversial ingredient. But I'd like to know if your family's got a family go-to recipe that's got a controversial ingredient.
But see, mums always did this because they wanted to make meals go further, so they'd always add things. And maybe they were a bit controversial.
Stretch it out. Yeah, mums of the 80s and 90s really wanted to make the family shop go further. So things like peas bulked out the fish pie a little bit. You could probably go half the amount of fish.
Dad just loved to put swedes with carrots, sweet and carrot mash.
He'd make the carrot go further by disguising it with the sweet.
Yeah, that was controversial. Actually, that was just a controversial dish.
Sweet and carrot.
Yeah.
I loved a bit of sweet and carrot, but I say it always was to make the carrots go further because Swedes were so much cheaper.
Right.
So I'd like to know, you can text messages 9696 or call us 0800-ZM. If your family had your family go-to dish, but controversial ingredients.
When I went to a friend's house once, they had like a beef stew.
Yeah.
And there was bananas in there. Rachel from Friends when she did the trifle, but she got half the meat... like lasagna and then the rest of the trifle. Do you remember that? And Friends? No. Oh, the pages of the recipe book got sucked together.
Oh, so like, everything can be brought back to Friends.
Should there be bananas in
Monica
here?
Monica wouldn't have liked that.
No.
Monica wouldn't have liked when she made that mistake. But bananas in a beef stew. No.
I know.
That might actually taste nice though.
Well,
because you've got the sweet and the tang. That could actually be quite nice.
Because the banana might take on the beef, especially if it's cooked for a long time. Yeah, it would go really soft, wouldn't it? You should get that recipe.
It's like back when I ate meat, okay.
Get it going on.
All right, 0800-ZM9696.
Your family's recipe with a controversial ingredient.
Talking about your friends and your family's unusual, controversial food combinations.
Yeah, Nigella has used wine and cream in a cabanara. Now, apparently it's egg and cheese you have to use in a cabanara.
I think the entire country of Italy is up in arms. In fact, she'll probably be banned from
visiting.
There's
a lot of this going on. And they're flicking off the chin. Another Friends reference.
And
banging the wrists together.
Yeah.
Some text messages in of your family's controversial ingredient combinations. My mum used to make a butter chicken with a lot of chopped up potato in it. So they said as there was more potato in the mix than there was chicken in the butter chicken. But it's not called a butter chicken and potato.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
No, I don't like potatoes.
I don't like curries.
I love a potato, but I don't like bulking up a curry with a potato.
Because you have rice.
Yeah, you've
so
already got your carbohydrate.
You don't want rice and potatoes.
I remember the day Mum hit the roof when she found out Dad's secret ingredient in the family shepherd's pie was a quarter of a bottle of Southern Comfort.
God, man, Mum kept wondering why she was over the limit and the police kids checkpoints.
Just like, oh, I love this, Dad. It's my shepherd's pie. My mum's favourite cheat meal. Now, this isn't just a weird ingredient in a meal.
Yeah.
This was leftover fish and chips from the Friday night combined with rice that had been fried with beef stock.
Yeah.
And then a bit of bacon left over from Sunday morning breakfast and some eggs and bacon into a... Bake it all in one dish.
Is that bad that I actually want to try that?
It sounds a combination. Yeah, it's very hectic.
Very hectic.
Very leftovery. But a friend of ours had it once and was just like, I expected it to taste terrible, but it's okay.
Ashley, this is your friend.
We were chilling at her house and she's trying to serve a group of us some quiche and it's got cornflakes on top. And we kind of said, really, what is this cornflake business? Why have you got a quiche that is that has crushed up cornflakes? And she said, this is just how you make quiche. Apparently it was the way her mum did it.
It is
so
not.
Obviously that's the way she did it. And then another time we're having some type of, you know, little girly shared lunch, high school, and she tried to give us quiche with cornflakes and corn chips put together.
Oh. What's her obsession with the corn part of things?
Yeah, she wants corn.
Like, just have a corn quiche, lady. I don't know.
Yeah. She wants crunchy corn stuff on everything.
Or just have a quiche and then have some chips afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird. Quiche with a side of corn chips.
Hey, thanks for your call, Ashley.
No worries. Have a great day.
Another Ashley. Good morning. Got a lot of Ashleys listening. What is this, you or your friend or your parents that have this controversial food combo?
My mum... raised us, where every time she made spaghetti, when you make the mince, she always chuck in a spoonful of Marmite and some, like, Worcestershire sauce and everything. Like, everything she can find in the pantry goes into the mince.
Why?
Yeah, I reckon Marmite and mince would be quite good.
You reckon, I could get on board for Marmite and mince.
It's like an OXO cube.
Yeah.
It's like an OXO
cube. And every time I cook it, I put that in too.
But then what, people think you're weird?
Well, we don't share that to people, really.
It's the secret ingredient.
It's a secret shame ingredient.
Could you use Vegemite? Or does it have to be Marmite?
No, it has to be Marmite.
Right.
Yeah, Team Marmies.
Team Veg.
All right, hey, 100% thanks, Ashley.
Somebody else said, it is wrong and controversial to have mixed vegetables in the spaghetti, in the mince part of spaghetti.
Yeah.
My mum would always put mixed veggies in and we'd say, Mum, no. Two veggies max.
But Mum's trying to make your veggies go further and at least get you some veggies.
My grandmother showed me how to eat pork liver when I was a kid. You put a good spread of strawberry jam on top.
Oh my God.
Absolutely love it still. Everyone else looks at me disgusted when I buy a pork liver and want to put jam on top. Somebody said this is a secret ingredient, but also a way of taking what has been a bland uni meal to something Gordon Ramsay-fied.
Yeah.
Just putting a tablespoon of curry powder in the mac and cheese when you're making the mac and cheese.
That's a good one.
Somebody else said if you want a controversial spaghetti situation, how about three cans of tinned spaghetti to one can of corned beef? And mixed all up as heated.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
I had a bit of a controversial dish while studying. It was the 2-minute noodle omelet. You would set noodles in an eggy mix and omelet it.
Would you cook the noodles first, eh?
Yes.
So they were soft.
You'd cook the noodles.
And then put them in a pan and then pour scrambled egg onto the noodle.
And maybe some flavouring, some meats.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, no, you're welcome.
That's not a bad one.
I don't think I'll go home and use that one, Fletch.
Somebody else said my mum scrambled eggs were the envy of everybody when they came around. They were like, "Your mum scrambled eggs off the hook."
What's she putting in there?
A big pinch of chicken stock into the scrambled eggs as they're cooking.
Because you know the key to scrambled eggs is you don't add anything. People add milk and water, and it's yuck.
Just butter.
Just eggs.
and cheese.
You don't even need
You put butter in at the start.
Yeah.
You do it in a pot and you put butter in at the start and it kind of lubes up your pan. And then you put the eggs in already mixed.
Yep.
And then just before they're ready, you put in grated cheese. And then it just melts through the eggs enough. And that's brought to you by the Heart Foundation too. Because it's definitely got it. FM.
Fletch, Vaughan and Megan's Community Notices.
Hello and welcome to Community Notices, a segment of the show where we have a look at what's happening around New Zealand according to local Facebook pages. This one comes to us from Christchurch.
Okay.
Somebody has started themselves a new business, and I always tip my hat to small businesses on local Facebook pages. Support local.
Yeah.
When you, what is the old saying? When you buy local, you're not supporting a CEO's pay rise. You're supporting somebody's kids who wants to do athletics.
It's something like that.
That the money you spend locally gets used for good community stuff,
unless the new business is a front for an international drug ring.
Yeah.
Then it's going into drugs.
Yeah, it gets more drugs. Drugs be got. Drugs
but
and then
local
death.
Drugs.
A local, yeah.
Well, I like to know my drugs are being manufactured locally. Not too locally.
Yeah.
Because those clandestine P-labs do go up.
They're very explodey. They
pollute a lot.
Okay.
But support local. This is a cleaning business, though. My partner and I have started a new cleaning business. We offer first clean half price. So if you're selling or moving house or just want a tidy house for the weekend, let us know. Here's our phone number, $35 an hour.
Okay.
Barbs. First comment, Barb's is in hot and quick. $35 for an hour of cleaning? What a ripoff. How many clients do you think you're going to get? That's a ludicrous price for an unskilled job.
Barb's?
I thought that was a really decent price.
I thought so. Two people, because they said $35 an hour. That's two people. Like, they'd get everything done, and that's about $17.
That's really reasonable.
$50 an hour, I believe. Actually, says Bindi, who comes to the defense of the original poster, it's not unskilled to clean. There's a lot of skill in doing a good clean. Barb said, what qualifications do you need to get this job done? None whatsoever. Thus unskilled. Well, that really gets people's hair up, saying, well, you know what, Barbs? Some people don't have the time to clean. They're too busy working, but they'd rather pay somebody else to do it. Cleaning's something that needs to be done. The original poster says that they used to be a nurse, and so they, you know, used to things being meticulously clean. And Barbara said, how many cleaners work under the table for no tax? This is all just an absolute rort.
Oh, Barb, calm down.
To which someone says, maybe it's danger money for working like bitch for bitches like you, Barb's.
Oh, my drop.
Yes. It's out. It's over.
Nice.
It's over. By the way, Barb's has a picture of a flower for a Facebook profile. Yeah. Classic mum move. Classic mum move.
Classic mum.
Take a photo of your favourite flower in the garden and pop it as your Facebook profile. This one comes from Rent for Queenstown, and this is more just showing how out of control Queenstown rent can be.
Yep.
$230 a week for a shared room. You get a queen size bed. It's in a fully furnished house. There's a kitchen, there's a living room, toilet, bathroom, and two bedrooms. You'll be sharing your room with two other girls, one Danish and one German. The other bedroom has three guys in it. One Dutch, one Japanese guy, and an Indian guy who's just moved to town. We're a 5-minute walk to Fresh Choice. Another 10 minutes walk to town. Very quiet house. Everyone has a full-time job. For more information, let us know. $230 a week to share a room with two other people and share a house with five other people.
No.
That's mental.
What's going on in the rooms that they all have to share?
Sleeping.
And it's that much money.
But that's just how out of control Queenstown rent is.
Like, because everyone's there for the ski season.
Or one of the other people in that house isn't paying any rent and has organised it all.
Yeah.
So they're sharing a room, but they're also paying no rent.
But yeah, they're probably just going there and sleeping.
In Hamilton, this post comes to us from Hamilton. If anybody knows of a mobile hairdresser, as I can't leave home at the moment. Someone's like, oh my God, are you okay? Why can't you leave home? Home detention bracelet.
Well, people on home detention need their hair cut too.
Yeah, somebody asks if their head is as hairy as their leg. Quite a hairy leg.
Quite a hairy leg.
But I don't know.
How far out of your house can you go with that? Or you can't?
I don't know. I've never been on home D.
Gate?
Do they set up like an electronic? Because I've seen those things you can buy for your dog where you set up an invisible fence and the dog crosses it gets a little
zap. I think if you go 100 metres, it explodes on your leg.
What?
So basically you either lose a leg or...
No, it doesn't. That would be illegal. They wouldn't do that. Fletch.
They do.
Yeah, and if you do that once, they'll put it in your neck, so next time it'll just blow your head clear off.
That's
why you don't see the home detention collars as much anymore, because nobody's risking
game.
The bracelet.
Yeah, no.
And finally, Caitlin, correct me if I'm wrong, this is an interesting post. Steve writes on a Christchurch page, if anybody wants to make a few dollars, can you please PM me? I'm after the pill for my daughter. I'll not be answering questions here, and please, I don't need your judgment. I'll pick up. I'll pick up from you. I can meet in a neutral zone if that would
be preferred. Aren't there many different types of pills for different people?
You have to get a prescription for that. You have to go to the doctor.
You have to go to the doctor, right? Like, you can't just get any old pill. You have to find the one that's right there.
Yeah, no.
Right.
That's very dangerous and weird. Why's Dad doing that?
Well, he's trying to help out, I think.
Yeah, but take her to the doctor.
He's trying to help out without spending too much money, I think.
Oh, well, yeah.
Dad.
But obviously, he's like, if I can get some free pills, it's going to save me having to pay for this kid.
The pill is very expensive.
Is it?
Yeah. I pay about $70 a month. No, 3 months, every 3 months.
No, it is not.
Mm-hmm. Different dosage, different, like, ones are different prices. But, yeah, I pay about $17.
Add that to the list of the things I would like to see more heavily subsidised by the government.
Sunscreen
tampons. And tampons.
Yep. You're almost such a feminist.
I'm almost of the opinion that tampons should be free.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they should be.
Yeah, and sunscreen should be drastically cheaper than it is.
Well, they just should, when you go around places, they should just have the little thing and you just go up and walk around beaches and then.
No, I'd be at the beach and I'd have hand sanitizer all over my face. Because the hand sanitizer pump would be next to the sunscreen pump. Those are community notices. If you see anything, send it to our Facebook page.
You're listening to the Fleetch, Morn & Megan podcast, brought to you by the team at MyRepublic.
Yeah, OneRepublic. With hit songs such as Apologise.
It's My Republic.
Yeah,
that's One Republic.
One Republic.
So I'm not here to promote the 2007 album Dreaming Out Loud.
No.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I'll just stop this now then.
Okay.
Yeah, My Republic have no limits, but I sure do. If you're sick of limits, sign up to My Republic using the promo code podcast and you'll get a month free on top of what is already a great deal.
We were just talking in community notices about a dad trying to procure the pill for his daughter, but not in the usual manner of going and seeing a medical professional and getting a prescription.
Dad was trying.
We don't know his situation. He could be a solo dad. He doesn't know. She obviously doesn't know because she's not been through it before. Maybe he doesn't have that support around him.
Yeah.
But education is important.
I said, you've got to be careful because there's different pills for different people, isn't there?
Yes. So you need to go to the doctor and
now,
get them to.
You said.
I had a lot of feedback on this.
I didn't know this. You said that you pay $75 every 3 months.
3 months.
So that's $25 a month for the pill.
Yep.
Nearly a dollar a day.
So I'm on Yasmin.
With a Y.
Like Yasmin, like the person.
Yeah. With a Y. Like a Yasmin Bleeth from 1990s Baywatch fame.
Also from, yeah.
She snorted her pill and a lot of other things.
Do they all have names?
Yeah,
like,
so Yasmin, I've been on quite a few just to find the right one. Yas, Loretta.
Loretta's not a sexy one.
Loretta's
one. No, they're named like cyclones. Like how
alphabetically.
They're named cyclones. Yeah.
Judith.
No, but they
Catherine.
Give them weird kind of old people's names.
Yeah. But so I had to go through a lot of them because some of them made me put on weight, especially around my face.
Because people are texting and saying you're paying too much.
Yeah, somebody said their pill's $5 every 6 months. And somebody else said appointment in Southland. But, you know, Southland's all about the zero fees and everything,
right?
They could get people down there. Zero fees, zero doctor fees. Freezing. Freeze. You will freeze, but zero freeze. Fees. That free appointment and then $5 every 6 months.
God, if you got a grabber seat, it'd almost be cheaper to go to the doctor in Auckland. If it was free down there.
Grabber seat in Invers.
Yeah.
Spend the day in Invers.
Yeah, and then grabber seat back.
Yeah. I don't have to go and see the doctor every time I need a top up of the pill.
But yours is 75.
Yeah.
Because, well, it's different.
It's just, it works for me better. I think it's a higher dosage as well.
Somebody else messaged Justin now. They're on Yaz as well, $80 every 3 months. Subsidised pills, all of the subsidised ones don't agree with me. So why are some subsidised but some aren't?
So I think they're lower dosages. So because mine's a higher dosage, it means that...
It costs
more.
Do
you want me to go into it? But so I don't get as painful periods as I used to.
Right.
And I don't, it kind of helps with a bit of acne stuff and hormonal
because
things.
Because I remember the day I learned that some women don't take... the pill purely for contraceptive measures. Oh, they take it to regulate their menstrual cycle.
I don't, because I don't really do that a lot. That other thing. So I take it for... Because I've been taking it since I was about 14.
Right.
Yeah, because I used to be crippled over in bed, not being able to move from period pain.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that's why it's more expensive, probably. but you have to go to the doctor and get it prescribed.
Yeah, okay. Prescribed. All right.
Oh, cute. Someone said pills here are way cheaper than they are in the States. I paid $90 for antibiotics. They think we're talking just pills, but any pills.
No, but that's the thing. In New Zealand, so much is subsidised. We're so lucky here.
Oh, yeah.
In America, yeah, if you don't have insurance, like, you're screwed, aren't you?
Yeah.
They'll just leave you to die in the gutter.
Never go to America without travel insurance.
Yeah.
You'll be in big trouble if something happens.
It's a big sporting weekend. It's been a big sporting week. The America's Cup parade yesterday.
We're going to talk some sports next in Sports Talk. And I have a massive guest for Sports Talk.
Okay.
Huge guest who this weekend.
Right.
You'll just be like, wow.
Okay. But you know we've got All Blacks in after eight this
bigger
morning.
Bigger than the All Blacks.
Bigger than the All Blacks.
Without this person we're going to talk to,
yep.
The All Blacks would not happen.
Wow. Is it the coach? Is it the coach?
Bigger than the coach. I think I honestly believe more important than the coach.
Bigger than Steve Hansen.
Huger than Steve Hansen.
Sports Talk. Max will return next with the least sporting person on the show, Vaughn Smith.
The America's Cup is now New Zealand's Cup.
Augustine Adams. Oh, beautiful connection. The All Blacks celebrating already.
Sports Talk. Where we talk about sports.
Yes, oh my God, it's even got a new intro.
Yeah, listen to that. Now they say sports like a bit of...
Oh.
ACDC?
We've got All Blacks coming in on the show after 8 this morning.
I know, but I didn't want to overshadow them, so I thought we'd do Sports Talk now and then just talk All Blacks.
Okay, with the least sporting person on the show, Vaughn Smith,
what could you possibly
be talking about?
Talk about sports. Well, we've got a guest Sports Talk today. Joining us on the phone, award-winning.
Okay.
He's won awards. I think without him, it certainly wouldn't be happening this weekend.
Okay.
And we've got a lot to be thankful for having this man as a New Zealander. Blair Christensen joins us on the phone. Head groundsman of Eden Park. Blair, good morning.
Morning, Vaughn. Morning, guys. How are you?
Morning.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show. As a fellow fan of grass and a smooth turf, it's wonderful to talk to you.
Yeah, brilliant. Hey, thanks for having me. It's pretty exciting weekend, isn't it?
It's a massive weekend.
Is it annoying when it rains so much like it has been? Is it going to be like a quite a mushy event this weekend?
I wouldn't like to use the word mushy. Maybe
it's got it prepped.
Slippery, maybe.
Okay.
I don't get a lot of sleep when it rains. Tin roof, you know, you hear every drop and you sort of kind of go, oh, come on, throw the bone.
Do you live in Eden Park?
See, you live under the top of the stand.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you, I spend a lot of hours here, but, you know, it would probably be debatable whether I spend more time at home or here.
Right.
So when it does rain, what do you have to do? Do you run a cover over the whole thing or?
No. In the winter, you know, a lot of the weather is the weather in the winter, but I mean, a lot of the stuff that we're doing at the pitch is in preparation for, you know, winter type conditions. So, you know, you're punching holes in the surface, trying to get water through the profile, stuff like that. And you're anticipating this type of weather. I mean, it's winter, it rains, so, you know, you've got to roll with it.
What's underneath the grass and the dirt?
Yeah, well, there's no such thing as dirt here, Vaughan. It's all sand. So,
learning!
Yeah, so our grass is grown in sand. Sounds bizarre, but works really well. Water moves through sand a lot quicker than it does soil or dirt. So, you know, that's why we use sand, free draining. You know, just infiltration rates are high. It provides a lot better surface.
Vaughn, you've got quite excited, Blair, because he loves his lawn at home. He loves it.
We did renovations a couple of years ago, Blair, and the builders just left everything all over the lawn, and a lot of it died off. And then, of course, the first thing that comes back, the weed.
Yep.
So I've,
you know it.
I'm thinking about doing an entire resow this spring.
Yep.
Now is that the sort of thing
I've done a little bit of learning already. I mean, spring and autumn are the time to grow grass.
I come from a dairy farming background. I know spring's a great time to climb a lawn.
Do you have a good lawn at home, Blair? Like, do you mow like patterns in it?
No. I put in a test match cricket pitch a couple of years ago, Boxing Day one, and. Everyone loved it except for the wife, and you know, because obviously browned that cricket pitch off a little bit, and she was a little bit worried about whether it would come back. But yeah, I thought it was great. Got a couple of snaps of that.
Right.
If anybody's going to be able to turn a cricket pitch back into lush lawn, it's going to be Blair, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told her that, but she was a little unconvinced at the time. But of course, it came back.
Does she ever say, "All right, that bloody Eden Park looks nice, but you haven't mowed the lawn here for 2 weeks"?
No, I probably do that myself more than other people.
You're right on yourself.
Start the lawnmower up at 8:30 at night.
Yeah.
Hey, Blair, awesome. I have a really quick question. My lawn at home, one of my flatmates drove the car on it and then couldn't get the car out because it got stuck in the mud. It's not like your sand fancy one. Now the grass has stopped growing there.
Yeah. You're going to have a little issue there for a while.
Oh.
Maybe just fill it up with something, stop the water pooling in it, and then when Vaughn does this in the spring, you could get him over and do yours as well.
Yes. What do I fill it up with?
Sand. Sand's a good option.
Get sand and get, bit of soil.
Bit of sand. I'll go to the beach.
I can't believe that we're talking about grass and lawn care.
I'm so excited. On the show. Is there any part of Eden Park we should be watching this weekend that you're especially proud of?
With the All Blacks, I mean, they haven't lost there since 94, so maybe the try line.
Ooh. Yeah, good call, good call.
That try line, it's going to look beautiful. Blair Christensen, thanks for joining us for Sports Talk today.
Hey, no worries, thanks for giving me a call, mate.
It's very special guest, underappreciated.
With the tagline, where we talk about sport. We just talked about grass.
If it wasn't for Blair, what would they be playing on? Concrete tennis court. And everyone would have grazed knees. Spy.co.nz.
Well, Megan Away, producer Caitlin's in, and the Rob Kardashian drama that unfolded yesterday continues today.
Yeah, you will have seen this yesterday. He got his Instagram deleted after putting up explicit pictures of Blac Chyna.
And then that got shut down and he went to Twitter?
Twitter, yep. And I don't know, I think that's still up and running, but really bizarrely, an ad popped up on Craigslist selling Rob Kardashian's bed. A quarter of $1 million.
And do they think it's him selling it or someone, is this fake?
No, well, it's saying because a description came with it and this says, and it definitely sounds like him with all his ranting, selling the bed where I made my child with Blac Chyna because she has been effing too many successful dudes with real jobs in that bed, including me, with no real jobs in that bed, including me. So he's like kind of saying that he's a bit shit as well. But yeah.
So I've been reading the latest because he basically posted explicit photos of her.
Yes.
Revenge porn. People are saying that there would be legal grounds for him to go to jail over this.
Yeah, legal precedent for, well, I mean, it's an invasion of privacy. It's a whole lot of things, isn't it?
It's against the law because it's a law here now too, isn't it?
And it's like horrible photos, like pictures of her like downstairs and stuff like that is all leaked everywhere and that's from him.
Why, like you're with someone, like you've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend and you let them take photos and it's all happy. Or you send them photos and then, 6 months down the track, it ends badly.
Mm. Yeah.
Then they've still got these photos
of you.
You've
got to be so careful. This stuff doesn't disappear. It's not like a printed out photo of yesteryear.
Yeah.
Where it can be destroyed and that's that. Yeah. Like digital copies last forever, don't they? I would love to know, and this might be, it would take a very brave person to ring us and talk about this openly. Mm. If you've been on the end, the receiving end of revenge porn, if something you've been in a relationship with somebody, you've sent them or there's been photos of this nature or videos of this nature taken. And then when it ends, perhaps badly, those photos are used against you. I mean, I think revenge porn's so, so dangerous because you're making a heat of the moment and impassioned decision that has the possibility of repercussions that will last for so long for that person.
Ruining someone's life.
Because once you put it out there, they're out there.
It's done,
screenshot.
Because you hear of people, they break up and then the ex will go and make a group on Facebook and send it to all their friends.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Just like that. It gets around pretty quick.
I don't know if that would be a big thing here in New Zealand. You hear the odd little case, but I don't know.
Maybe not in our, like, that's the problem, though. In the circles we move in, no.
Mm. Yeah,
but there are people out there who are very capable of it, and it's so dangerous. Like, person can never escape it. And even if you call, if you're thinking about calling but think, I don't want to be, what you say now might make someone think twice about exacting this sort of revenge on somebody else.
Okay, if there's anyone listening that's been on the end of revenge porn, 0800 dials it in 9696.
That'd be a really interesting chat. And if it stops happening to somebody else, that's got to be a good thing.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned in Spy, Caitlin, producer Caitlin, about the Rob Kardashian revenge porn pics.
Yes, with Blac Chyna.
Now, TMZ did a big thing, didn't they? They said, look, lawyers
are getting involved.
This could easily end up with him in prison or in court at least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sharing these photos with the world.
Yeah.
And saying
horrible things.
And you do hear about the odd people in New Zealand where this does happen. There have been some court cases because it is a law here now.
Yeah.
sharing those pictures.
And we'd love to know if you've been on the bad end of this, like the end where all of a sudden photos that you believed you were sharing with one person privately became public.
Now, Jess, your ex did this or threatened to do it?
He threatened to do it once we broke up.
What did he want? What did he want out of it, though? What was his do this or I'll release these photos?
I think it was a power trip for him because I ended it with him.
Yeah.
And he knew I suffered anxiety, so he knew if he threatened while I was out with my friends, I would get overwhelmed and I would bow down to what he wanted me to do.
So what did he want? Did he want to be your boyfriend again?
Yeah, basically. Well, he said he didn't, but he did, and all his... He was just... I don't know. He just twisted everything that he said, and if I hit him up when he was sober after he had done it, he said, no, I didn't, no, I didn't, no, I didn't.
Oh, right. So is it at the stage now where you think he's deleted the photos, he's moved on, or do you think he's always got them over you?
Oh, God, no. He would always still have them... He said he stored them from his old phone when he got him his new phone.
Because this sounds like it's not, like, solved. This sounds, correct me if I'm wrong, but it could flare up and he could do this again. Have you thought about going to the police about this? I mean, or what's stopping you going to the police? Is it an embarrassment thing?
Yeah, it's probably more an embarrassment thing. Like, at the time, you trusted this guy and or anything that you shared together would be kept together as a partnership. But then as soon as we broke up, like, no, it just turned nasty and he just turned...
Jess, given that this is ongoing, we'll get you to wait there. We'll put you on hold. If anyone's listening who legally knows where Jess stands on this, we'd love to put you in touch with Jess because this sounds like it's something...
The police probably couldn't do anything because it's not
like... you've got evidence of the threat...
Oh, yeah, like a text.
If you've still got the text or the evidence of the threat. So if you just wait there, Jess, we'll try to... If anybody listening knows legally where that she stands on that'd be great to hear from you guys.
Amelia, now you have been on the end of revenge porn.
Yes, I have.
So what happened? You were with someone, you took photos and videos?
So I just took photos and sent them to him. But I was really careful because I waited till we'd been together for like months and I thought, okay, that will be all right. But once we broke up, he actually sent them to my new boyfriend and he sent them to my parents to be like, this is the kind of girl you raised, like, blah, blah, blah.
That is unbelievable.
What was he hoping? I'm just trying to get into the mindset of someone that would do this. What was he hoping to achieve out of it? He just wanted to ruin...
Yeah, I think he was just trying to embarrass me. Like, I think he... And he probably wasn't thinking, you know, like, I don't think a normal person treats a girl like that. But, yeah, I think he was just trying to embarrass me and he knew how much my parents meant to me, so he knew that would really get to me.
Did you end up going to the police over that or pressing charges?
Yes, I did, yeah. I went to the police and they took it really seriously. Like, they're really helpful. So I would definitely recommend, like, if you're in a situation like that, even just go to the police because they can put it on file that it's happened. So if it ever happens to you again with the same person, bang, because I actually got a protection order served against him. And if he does it anything like that again, then he's going to have to go to court.
Right.
So, they do take it really seriously.
Well, now, so what did your parents say, Amelia?
Well, my mum cried. but my dad was actually an ex-police officer. So, like, he probably didn't even really look at the photo as, like, he just took it straight to the police, like, really seriously. And I think they just felt sad that someone would treat me like this and scared for the future, you know. As you say, these photos are online forever, you know. Like, if he sent it to them, who else has he sent it to, kind of thing.
It's so horrible that girls will, as we heard before, like, are feeling... embarrassed about this
they've done something wrong.
But it's not your fault.
And you were the police all good about it, Amelia? You didn't feel judged at any point by the people you dealt with at the police?
No, I actually was dealing with a male police officer and he said, you know, do you want me to get in a female police officer? Like, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. Like, what can we do? Like, they went and got me a coffee. Like, everything, they took it really seriously and I didn't feel any judgment at all from them. Like, they more just definitely said that it was his fault and it was nothing on me, you know, like it wasn't my fault that this situation had occurred, anything like that.
Thanks so much for opening up the team. And I hope Jess, who was listening before, knows that, you know, she shouldn't feel embarrassed or that she's going to be belittled by the police because this is a serious issue.
Lisa, you've been listening and you've got something. Have you been on the end of revenge porn?
No, it wasn't me, actually. It was my best friend. Her and her partner had been together for about 7.5 years, and they were engaged. And they ended up breaking up quite badly. And he posted on Facebook, as well as he did briefly put one on YouTube, photos and videos that they had made together while they were over the years.
Right.
And she actually ended up committing suicide because it got so much for her over it.
Wow.
Lisa. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was quite a wake-up call. It was quite...
But what happened to the ex over that? Did he end up going to court or prison?
He did go through court, but, nothing really much came of it.
Oh, Lisa.
Geez. I'm so sorry, Lisa.
Wow.
I'm married, so, it makes me even think twice, if these things can happen. And, she was quite a tough chickie, and for to get to her that much, it's, people really need to think twice before they do things like that.
That's the thing. It's, if they do it multiple times over a long course, then that's obviously, there's been some thought and evil put into that, but people could make an impassioned decision in the spur of the moment, in the heat of, I've been broken up with, and for the couple of days you
can be angry.
You're tired and you make stupid decisions, but to think that somebody's stupid decision could end with somebody else taking their life due to it is...
The only reason we knew that's why she'd done it was obviously she'd left a note and it had explained what had happened, and it wasn't nice.
It must be very hard for you to share that, Lisa, but I think it's good that you have, because anybody listening who would ever be in that situation
might think twice.
If that stops somebody doing it this weekend, it is here. I really appreciate that. Yeah, the strength that you took, Lisa, to call in, Lisa. Thanks so much.
Fletch, Vaughan and Megan.
All right, a couple of minutes away from 8, a little bit late.
Yeah, stuff got pretty heavy there, but, I think it needed to. We needed to hear this side of the things. It needed to be said. Had a lot of feedback from a lot of people, some of which are in the same sort of situation. If you need any help for any of this, the New Zealand Herald's running an amazing series at the moment called Break the Silence, all about mental health, all about suicide, and a lot of these sorts of issues. If you are feeling that you can't talk to anybody, if... you need an ear to hear what you're going through. I just want to recommend the likes of Lifeline, Suicide Crisis Helpline, Youthline, Kids Line. There's whole lots of lines at the NewZealandHerald.co.nz. You can find a quick and easy way to click through and get that list of numbers. So
and
do so.
Don't send revenge porn, I think is what we've learned from that, that moment.
Do not. Yeah. Think through the whole timeline of what you could be setting off.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to end well.
All right. Okay. So... coming up on the show, Caitlin, you've organised a couple of All Blacks to join us in studio.
Yes, TJ Perenara and Adi Savia.
FEM.
Miley's celebrated International Kissing Day by putting a photo online of her and Liam Hemsworth kissing on the set of the last song, the movie, the Nicholas Sparks movie, where they met.
Such a good movie.
Oh, such
guilty
a good
pleasure.
Movie. Remember when I met him and he looked at me in the eyeballs?
She can just say you don't need to say balls.
He looked into my soul.
We all knew what we meant when you said eyes.
Oh, I love eyeballs. Him.
Like right into the ball part of my eye.
Why are you putting on makeup, producer Caitlin?
Because we've got some special guests.
All Blacks.
Are either of them single? Should I ask?
No, we're not allowed to ask. DJ Perenara's not single because his partner... excuse me, I don't know if it's partner or wife, I'll have to ask. Always messages me saying, when TJ comes over for an interview, I'm going to come and you've got to bring your kids because she wants to play with my kids. But he's coming, she's not, and neither are the kids.
Oh dear.
Just the lads? Just a couple of lads
hanging
out. Shaking about ruggers.
Flashback Friday.
And with Megan away, with a little small, she's getting her screws taken out. When one of the members of the show is away, it falls on
their week.
It's given to a producer. Now, producer Caitlin, you didn't want this. You've had this
I had a banger one that I did a few years ago.
or a year ago.
You've done one, eh? Producer James, you've never chosen
it. I haven't done one yet. And actually, it was quite funny. At the start of this week, of course, it was Megan's one-year anniversary of being engaged to. And I remember I started the week that she got engaged to. So it's been a year since I've been.
By the way, did anybody else feel it was weird Megan wanted us all to celebrate that?
No, that's normal.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Celebrate your engagement.
Oh, you don't get it because you're a boy. Oh,
but I've been engaged. I celebrated it with my wife.
Again, you're a boy. You don't get it. It's an exciting thing for females.
Super stoked.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. It's like a birthday.
All right, well, James, what have you chosen for us today? What have you gone for?
Well, it was when I was told that I was going to do this, it was a hard decision because there's been, I mean, you guys have been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
You've been doing it for a long time. So I thought back and I came across a song, which is probably a cult, bit of a cult song.
Cult classic.
Okay. From 2002. It was on a SingStar. It was on Just Dance, all the PlayStation games. It even appeared on One Tree Hill, the amazing TV series. So it must be a great song. It only actually got to number 20 in the New Zealand chart, which is not so much for it, but the song is, it's from Junior Senior, it is Move Your Feet.
Was this on Trolls? There was a remix to Trolls.
What an introduction, James.
All right, it's Friday.
Well done, James. Great intro.
Banger.
For this
great song.
Friday flashback on ZM. Go! Oh, yeah. It's Friday flashback today, ahead of Friday Jam starting at 9. Producer James, it's been, what, Vaughn, would you say it's been a good,
good
bit of a success?
Success. Here's your feedback. Bloody tune.
Bloody tune.
Bloody tune.
Bloody tune.
Somebody said.
That's what they said.
Two flame emojis. yes, James, hashtag producer one. Caitlin.
Oh, you've done so well.
He's producer one.
Yeah.
This wins Flashback Friday. It wins everything.
Right.
Perfect song to start the Friday with. What a freaking banger.
Okay.
I'm going to take this as a 100% record.
Yeah, okay. Really good. Start, actually, get out, James, and bring in the All Blacks.
Yes. Bring them in.
Okay, that was really creepy, producer Caitlin.
Hello.
Really, really creepy.
How are you? I'm good.
Morning, guys. G'day, mate. Oh, yeah, sweet. G'day.
Hi, I'm Caitlin. Nice to meet you.
Okay, don't hug them, Caitlin.
You're just allowed to hug them.
Oh, no, you can sit there, and you can sit there.
Yeah.
You can sit here,
Artie. Okay, here we go.
Joined in studio by All Blacks. TJ, what?
I was just wondering how fun it is to listen to people introduce themselves on the radio.
I don't know if you heard, but TJ and I had amazing pop when we went in. We did. I didn't know if we were kind of handshake.
Yeah, we're going to get an action replay, that pop.
Great pop. Artie and TJ, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right, so the big game tomorrow. How's everybody feeling in the camp ahead of this decider?
Yeah, boys are looking forward to it, eh? It's a good part of the week. We sort of just de-stress and chill out for a bit and look forward to getting out there and playing the game we enjoy, which is fun.
Do you guys have any sort of rituals the night before a game?
No, we usually just chill out with family if they're up in Auckland, and probably I always have Japanese.
Really?
Yeah,
what kind of Japanese?
A bento box? No, bento box. I go for like... chicken teriyaki.
Katsu chicken.
Now we're talking.
Now we're talking. What about yourself, TJ? You got any?
Yeah, I just kick back with family. I used to be real superstitious early on in my career, but then so many things change and there's so many variables when you're trying to be superstitious all the time that I just said, nah, I'll just do whatever happens. Yeah,
so what kind of superstition, like, did you have superstitious undies, like, that you always had to wear?
No, I used to have the same food all the time. So I'd have spag bol the night before, I'd have porridge in the morning, and then, like, poached eggs would be my pre-match meal. And, like, when we went away, sometimes they wouldn't have spag bol the night before. I'd be like, no,
so. I've always wondered, like, how, when's the last time you eat before a game? Because you obviously don't want to get hungry during a game, but you obviously don't want to be too full.
We have, like, our pre-match meal, was it 3 hours or 4 hours before the game? Yeah, about 4 hours before the game. We have a feed.
And then do you eat afterwards, or are you too, like, buzzed and the adrenaline's too much, you don't really feel hungry?
Yeah, I struggle to eat.
I struggle to eat afterwards too, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they put a big meal on it.
At least it's McDonald's or something like that.
Little drive-thru on the way. You need that All Blacks bus through that drive-thru. A little bit too tall. We're all going to have to get off the bus and go in. What's I've always wanted to know, and you'd be the man to talk to, TJ, the haka. Is there, like, a set-aside amount of time during practice to practice the haka? Because everybody seems to nail it.
No, there's not, eh? Like, the new boys who come in tend to get a little bit more work if they need help, or if they haven't done kapaka or haka growing up. But Derek Lardelli comes in probably once every campaign that we have and takes the boys through both hakas.
Really?
Which is pretty cool. It's a good experience for... For a lot of the boys.
I always thought there'd be every week, like, training's done, now we do the haka for 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, I actually thought it'd be like that too when I first come into the environment, but most of the boys who have been here a long time, they've got it pretty down pack, and so the boys who have just come in, we sort of spend a little bit more time with them if they need it.
Nice. And so, obviously last weekend, bit of a surprise for everybody, I think. What was the feeling like afterwards?
Yeah, we were disappointed, eh? We want to win every game we play,
yeah.
Regardless of who it's against, regardless of what's on the line, we go out there to win. So for us, especially us two, we come on and we back ourselves to close games, and we're up when we get on the field and we end up losing that game. So we're disappointed not coming on and closing out that game, but we know we've got another opportunity this week to get the job done.
Mm. Yep. Do you sulk? Because I get sulky when I lose.
Yeah, but or get home and people want to talk about footy, and I just like, what happened out there tonight?
Shut off.
Luckily, everybody was a bit distracted with the whole Sonny Bill thing. You'd be like, oh, I don't know, but just what about that shoulder barge? I don't want to talk about the game, but tell that shoulder barge. Hey, well, best of luck. Tomorrow, just smash them. Don't even give them a chance. God, there's nothing worse than a skiting pom. God, this is your absolute hits. TJ and Artie, thanks for coming in, guys.
Cheers,
best of luck.
Cheers, man.
FBM, the podcast.
Please warn Megan.
Except with Caitlin, who... By the way,
you are embarrassing.
No,
after,
I'm not.
I could have talked to those two guys all day, but we were getting the All Blacks PR wind up.
So, producer Caitlin, photo with the All Blacks afterwards. She rushes over to the photo spot, puts her arms out like a tree. I'm standing here.
Me in the middle.
Well, that's because I wanted to get a photo and crop you guys out of it.
And then you're in the middle and... Artie Savier just kind of nudges me in, and Caitlin's like, no, you come in here. Vaughn, you go to the side.
Photo.
It's very predatory, Caitlin.
Okay.
Work on that.
Sorry.
Have some decorum.
Very nice. I will want to say the Toyota Corolla. If you're driving a Toyota Corolla today, and I know, Caitlin, you're a Toyota Corolla driver, and I'm a huge fan. While I've never owned a Toyota Corolla,
I love
a Toyota Corolla. The most popular car in New Zealand, the most Kiwi car in the world. 100, according to the people that you pay your land transport.
Oh, yep.
Your registration to.
Your
NZTA. Yep. The most registered cars on New Zealand roads.
Is it? I think if you'd asked me to guess, I would have said that.
The Corolla.
Because everywhere. That's why you're like your mum and dad always say, buy a Toyota Corolla.
They go forever.
The parts will be cheap. And we also said that to you.
They go forever. They run on the smell of an oily rag and the parts are cheap.
Economical.
The new ones are very well in the crash safety tests.
Too. How many are?
150,000 Toyota Corollas are registered in New Zealand. So you take into account the ones in Northland that don't have a warrant and a reg. Probably pushing close to 200,000.
Probably
pushing right up there. So it's nearly twice as popular as the Suzuki Swift, which is the next most registered car, which surprises me because another reason I think there'd be so many Corollas on the road is there's been Toyota Corollas since
forever.
The 70s, the 60s, the 70s?
But that's the same with Swifts. Those have been around for years too, haven't they?
Have they? Did the Swift get a zhuzh?
I think because they're cheap, aren't they? They're quite cheap to buy even brand new.
The Suzuki Swift?
Yeah.
And they're very nice cars. Did they get a zhuzh? You know when all the hairdressers were like, this RAV4's not for me anymore, I'm buying a Suzuki Swift. Was that a huge Swift, or was that when the Swift came in? No, you're right, actually. They've been around for a long time.
I think they've been around, yeah.
But they were hugely popular.
And again, like cheap to run, like they're good cars.
Yeah. So 10,000 of those 150,000 Toyota Corollas are on the North Shore of Auckland.
That's me. That's man, you. I'm a statistic now.
You're a majority.
Yeah. Bridget and I are statistics. That sounded...
Well, you and Bridget are statistics. You're just now publicised majority statistics.
Right. Okay.
So if you're driving a Corolla today, give the old girl a tap.
Just say,
well done.
Oh, toot toot.
Well done.
You're a popular girl.
You're a,
or something.
Everybody loves you and I love you too.
I talk to my car sometimes.
I was going to say, it's weird that people talk to their cars, but you've named yours.
Yeah, but it's just like with the petrol gauge, you know, you're like, come on, babes. Just, I know you can make it home.
No, I give my Honda Accord's petrol light came on this morning. I was like, don't give me that shit, it's Friday. I got snappy at mine.
You're real.
I was very tired.
Selena, on to them.
That's my jam.
Is it your jam? Is current jam?
ATM jam.
With Megan away today, quick question. Will Caitlin, producer Caitlin, be helping us out with the Fact of the Day jingle?
Oh,
do you know it? Have you done it before?
I have done it once before.
Not fantastic.
It didn't go well, yeah. But
well, let's do the intro.
Right, and then if you fade out, if you feel that you're losing confidence.
Okay.
But believe in yourself.
Okay.
It's time for...
Fact of the day.
Well done.
You did pretty good.
I forgot really great.
During it.
Okay.
You did really great.
Thank you.
Today's fact of the day is the inventor of the fidget spinner.
Yeah.
Surrendered the patent to her invention in 2005 because she could not afford the patent renewal fee.
Oh no! So who got it?
What's the patent? What are you talking about? What's
so
that?
So she invented the fidget spinner in the 1990s.
Yep.
She originally invented it as a therapeutic device. You've probably seen it. It helps kids who can't concentrate.
Right.
Because it gives them something to do. Yeah, it gives them something to do while they concentrate. And some kids with learning difficulties, that sets them right. You know,
so
that's enough to help them learn in any way.
They might not learn English, but they can do a fidget spinner trick.
No. They learn English. They fidget spin. And while that's going, that's giving them enough stimulation.
Right.
Just seeing it.
Because they're
playing with it. They're fiddling with it. That they can concentrate on another task.
Okay.
So that was what they originally invented for. She had a few and she was like, these are lots of fun. And people were like, these are great fun. But in 2005, when her patent ran out, the patent office got in touch and said, hey, do you want to renew the patent for this fidget spinner? It's $400 for the renewal fee. And she was like, Catherine Hettinger is in it.
She's like, CBF.
She's like, I don't know, $400 is it? I'll just leave it because, like, obviously I invented it.
Yeah,
I'll get around to renewing it again sometime. So no one's going to steal the idea in the meantime.
Yeah,
and you know, 10 years, 11, close to 12 years later, she probably thought, I don't really need to worry about that because if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. And then, boom.
So who's got the patent? Can someone else take the patent, or is it now public domain?
I believe it's open. That's why you see expensive fidget spinners. Cheap budget fidget spinners.
Yep.
I believe it just became public, so you could just have at.
How much money could she have made?
I know.
Oh, Catherine.
Like, Kim Kardashian is making her own fidget spinners. Like, she could have charged her for taking it. Right? Because it's her idea.
If she'd kept... But the minute you surrender the patent and don't pay the patent renewal fee...
Then it becomes either someone else's patent or just public. Right?
When this kind of became... knowledge that some woman had once owned a patent for the world's most popular toy, they thought, we've got to get in touch with it. So Time Magazine reached out to Catherine.
And that question, how do you feel about all this now?
Her answer, I'm just thrilled they took off finally.
Oh, so she doesn't care.
Yeah, she's like, I knew they were good. Is it one of those... No one really like on mass believed me, but I'm just glad they took off.
And is it one of those things that if it hadn't been available for 100 people to make millions of them, it might not have actually taken off?
Yeah, yeah. She kept the painting in. Someone had been like, I like these, make 1,000. She's like, well, I can't really afford to front up to have 1,000 made. You know, she said she's glad that it took off. And when she made it, her motivation wasn't to make money. If she'd invented it, the primary cause of her invention had been to make money, she might have felt differently. But she said because it was never about the money for her, she's just pleased to see her spinner bringing joy to so many people's lives. Yeah, and frustration to every parent's life when your kid's like...
And teachers.
The sides come off mine, I need a new one. Meh, fridget spinners.
The ring is lodged in my esophagus.
Yeah, help. I told you not to put that fidget spinner in your mouth. So today's factor of the day is the inventor of the fidget spinner surrendered the patent in 2005 when she couldn't afford to pay the patent renewal fee.
Fact of the day.
We're going to start Tina with you this morning. What's your story for last calls?
So, to make shopping more interesting, because grocery shopping is boring as hell, right?
Yep.
I used to make it a little more interesting by giving my husband at the time's bottom a little squeeze.
Cute.
That's okay.
Very cute.
Yep. What, just like in every aisle? Are you just like, all right, we've done that aisle?
Oh, well, it depends where you are. Like, you're walking up and down an aisle and you think, oh, that reminds me of him, so I'll give him a little squeeze.
That's so cute.
I've seen him eat Weet-Bix before. Squeeze.
Okay.
So what happened the one day, I wasn't really paying attention to what I was doing. Went down the sausage aisle, saw the sausage, thought, oh, that reminds me of my husband. So I thought I'll give his bottom a squeeze. And I got the wrong man.
Oh, I can see where this is going.
Squeezer.
So whose bottom did you squeeze? Was he appreciative of this?
Well, he seemed quite happy, but the person he was shopping with, which was obviously his partner, was looking at me with death stare.
Oh, did you just want to, did you apologise? Were you quite upset?
You know, when you sort of dig yourself in a hole, I said, oh, I'm really sorry, wrong bottom. Not that your bottom's not good, but it's not the bottom that I wanted to squeeze.
And you just keep talking your way out of it.
You're a sausage and I wanted to touch it.
All right, Tina, wait there. China, what's your story for last calls?
So I was in Rome for a sevens tournament and afterwards we celebrated with some tequila.
Yeah.
I yelled out, oh, my God, we need some lemons. They will be so good. And all the girls looked at me and said, there's plenty of lemons in here, girl, because they're all lesbians.
What?
I've just broken something in excitement.
I honestly, I went beetroot red and I was like, oh, my God, no, I mean the fruit, like, you know, the one that we eat. And they're like, yep. I just had to stop. I was out of the room as fast as I could.
Is lemons slang for lesbians?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before ever.
Never.
I'm not in lesbian circles.
I don't move. I mean, I
didn't click at all, and then they were looking at me like, oh, there's plenty of lemons in here. And I was like, huh? Oh, no, that's not what I mean.
I'm just going to doing a Google. Is it an Australian thing? Were they Australians?
I don't know, but I've heard heaps of people in New Zealand say it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lemon. No one knows for sure, but a lesbian... They call themselves lemons. Okay, I'm not going to say what.
So is it like we're not allowed to say lemons?
I don't know if we are.
As a non-les, even though I've been crowned an honorary member of the lesbian community.
They do love you. They love you.
Yep. Sir Vaughan of lesbianism. Maybe it's one of those words lesbians can call each other lemons, but as an outsider, you're not allowed to.
It's not your L word. It's
so
word.
Awkward.
Aww.
Wait, how many of them were you like...
There was 12 of us, and there's 8 of them that were all lesbians.
Oh.
Yeah.
And what did you all say you were over there for? Sevens?
Sevens, yeah.
Right. Is that just, you play sevens?
Yeah.
Is that a ratio that's normal in sevens, or was that just like a bit of a...
No, I think because it was a mixture of like all different people from around New Zealand, maybe we just got the mix of...
Right.
They do.
Yeah. Okay. And you learn something every day, don't you? You learn
lesbians.
Something
every day. Lemons stick together.
We can't use that unless we're lesbians.
Let's go safely at this stage.
Safely say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's vote now. The tribal council.
Oh, how do you do this?
You flash up how many fingers according to what the number to the left of the...
China, you've won.
Yes,
you've actually won. ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast. For more, check out ZM online. ZM.